Shabbat Shalom. So this Torah portion is Vayera, and again, it's found in Exodus 6, 2, 35. Here's Exodus 6, 2 in English. Then God spoke to Moses, telling him, I am Adonai. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, but I did not make my name Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh known to them. I established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land they lived in as foreigners. Oops. That was a little more than two. So anyway, this parsha begins after Moses has gone up to Egypt and confronted Pharaoh. Him and Aaron was with him as well. So just two men walk up to the palace, one a shepherd and the other a slave. At this time, Moses already has little confidence about how he's going to accomplish what the Lord has told him to do. Moses claimed that he was slow and uneloquent of speech. So God told Moses that he would give him the words to say, as if saying, don't worry, man, I got this. But even after Moses sees miracles firsthand, you know, with his hand and everything, he still is having trouble believing that God can speak through him. And so he insists on having someone else go. So God, he doesn't let Moses get out of this one, but he sends Aaron to go and speak for Moses. So they go, and then it all goes wrong, or it seems that way. They speak to Pharaoh, but he says no, and on top of that, he increases the workload on the Israelites. The Israelites turn on Moses and say, what is wrong with you, man? Now they're going to kill us all. So Moses, he totally freaks out because, first of all, he doesn't have any confidence that he can speak and do this. And also now the Israelites have lost all confidence in him as well. So he blames God and says, like with an I told you so attitude, why did you send me? You should have sent someone else. And this parsha begins with God's response to Moses. Then God spoke to Moses, telling him, I am Adonai. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, but I did not make my name Adonai known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, which they lived in as foreigners. Furthermore, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are forcing to work as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, tell the Israelites, I am Adonai, and I will deliver you from the forced labor of the Egyptians and free you from slavery to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and great acts of judgment. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. You will know that I am Adonai, your God, who delivered you from the forced labor of the Egyptians. I will bring you to the land that I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. I think that Moses made the mistake from the beginning of believing that God would accomplish all this by Moses' own ability, like his ability alone. In other words, it all came down to how skilled Moses was himself. While what Moses could do, it was a factor. It was not a very it is a very small factor. If God only relied on what we could accomplish with our own strength and our own understanding, not much of anything would get accomplished, and at least not anything good. Anyway, it's not our ability that accomplishes God's will. In this case, the salvation of all the Israelites. Now, not ability, but submission to him, being willing and making ourselves available to him. Or availability is greater than ability. So how do we do this? We have to submit to God. But first we must listen to what he is saying. We have to let go of our fears and doubts, for fear is not from God. After all, he is with us, and he will never leave us or forsake us. And we have to act. We have to do what he says. And we have to do it with faith and trust, not in I, you, or we, not in what we can do or any of that, but in what God can do. What can the Lord do? Anything and everything. Nothing is impossible with him. All glory, power, and wisdom is his. Not only can God do anything, but he knows exactly what you can do. And he knows how and when and why and where we should do it. So why doesn't God just do everything himself? Well, because he loves us and wants us to love him back of our own free will. We can't be redeemed unless we first accept God as our owner. Why God does things the way he does can seem strange or even foolish according to our understanding. But in reality, and by reality I mean what is, whether we see it or not, God's way is the wisest. So this whole parsha kind of made me think of a verse in 1 Corinthians, starting in 20. Verse 20. And it says, where is it? There it is. Where is the philosopher? Where is the scholar? Where is the debater of this age? Hasn't God made the world's wisdom foolish? For since in God's wisdom the world did not know God through wisdom, God was pleased to save those who believe through the foolishness of the message preached. For the Jews ask for signs, and the Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. Yet to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is God's power and God's wisdom. Because God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Moses was not the most wise, eloquent, or qualified person for the job, but God is. And he used Moses, a shepherd, a murderer, or nothing, to save his people and to perform many signs and wonders and to bring glory to God. Just as the Exodus had an unlikely fulfillment in what we consider weak, so God's salvation came from a source that seems unlogical and foolish to us, the rejection and death of his own son. In verse 26 of Corinthians chapter 1, it says, "Brothers, consider your calling. Not many are wise from a human perspective, not many powerful, not many of noble birth. Instead, God has chosen the world's foolish things to shame the wise, and God has chosen the world's weak things to shame the strong. God has chosen the world's insignificant and despised things, the things we viewed as nothing, so he might bring to nothing the things that we have viewed as something, so that no one can boast in his presence. But from him, you are in Jesus Christ, who for us became wisdom from God, as well as righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, in order that, as it is written, the one who boasts must boast in the Lord." Shabbat shalom.